College football weekend always gives us stuff to talk about right here on Locked On NFL Draft, including an unfortunate kick to the stomach. We'll talk about that right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, good listeners, into Locked On NFL Draft. And we've got you covered for the next, oh, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes, maybe a couple hours. Who knows how long we'll be here on the podcast. Appreciate you being here with us. And who are we? Well, that's former NFL AFL defensive back Eric Crocker. You see him right there raising the roof because his Trojans got a win on Saturday night. Down below, you see Ryan Tracy from Rogue Analytics. It's at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. And the Jayhawks did not get a win, so he's not quite raising the roof.
Nah.
That was a tough one against Bijan, RB1 for a lot of people. And I'm John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for your Houston Texans. I say your Houston Texans. That's because what I say in Houston. And also owner-operator of footballtakeover.com, a draft site, so come check it out. So, gentlemen, we got to dive into a number of different topics. We're going to start at the top with Hendon Hooker. But before we get into that, a reminder, today's episode of Locked On NFL Draft is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up $200 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Now, Saturday night was an interesting one, obviously, in college football because there were a couple games going on at the same time. USC East Coast, USC West Coast. And they both were balling out. And we're going to get that a little bit. But late in the second half of the South Carolina-Tennessee game, Hendon Hooker went down. And I think a lot of our fears were, oh, boy, that didn't look good. Found out on Sunday that Hendon Hooker had indeed torn his ACL. Gentlemen, very simply put, what does this mean for Hendon Hooker? Eric, I'll start with you.
Man, this is extremely tough. You know, this is a guy who it looked to be putting it all together, and he's had to face a lot of adversity. You know, there you hear the jokes about how old of a prospect he is, and he is the old man in this class, but facing an injury like that this late in the season definitely doesn't help him from a, you know, NFL draft prospect standpoint.
Ryan, your thoughts about Hendon Hooker? And I think Eric mentioned something that I want to continue to hit on too, and that's his age. Now he's got the ACL. It's middle of November. When can he get back? He's already 24. How much more rehab is he going to need? If that bleeds into next year when he's a rookie in the NFL, now he's 25. How does this all play out, especially given his age, Ryan?
It's rough. This is probably the worst case scenario for Hendon Hooker as the prospect, as the next quarterback of X team, because I think he was in the mix that we were going to have long discussions about where he should rank after the top two quarterbacks in this class. And this puts not only OTAs, the making the transition to the league, in jeopardy. This puts training camp in jeopardy. This puts anything early half of the season in jeopardy. Now everybody can recover from an ACL different times. We've seen guys make really quick recoveries. Can he do that given that he does rely on his legs in his game at some point? Maybe not as much as other teams. So like, I don't feel it's as critical to his ball game, but at the end of the day, it puts him in a position where teams have to draft on faith and film, and they can't put him through a new workout. You're not going to see him throughout the combine. You're not going to see him come into your building and try to execute your offense, even in a handful of plays off the chalkboard, to try and see what the fit is.
Eric, your biggest concern, let's take the knee injury out. What did Hendon Hooker, before the knee injury, where do you think Hendon Hooker was going to fall? Do you think he was going to be a first rounder? Do you think that he was going to be top of the second round, maybe falling into round three? Where did you see Hendon Hooker before the ACL injury he suffered against South Carolina?
You know, if you look at this past class and where kind of guys ended up being drafted around that third round type range, and I thought that's where he would land as well. You see a lot of the upside in the big plays, explosive plays, the throws down the field, and that's all good, especially his mobility as well. But I don't think there was enough consistency as a pure passer to have him be a guy who goes day one. So if I had to guess as a prospect, when you factor in the age, the injuries, and now another injury, I would assume that he's a guy that would probably go late day two.
Ryan, where do you think this puts him? Before the injury, where did you think Hendon Hooker was going to go?
Yeah, I had him as the fourth quarterback on my list last time we went through our consensus. I had that at the top of the third round, mid day two, maybe snuck into the second, depending on need and who ends up where and what that order post playoffs turns into. That's pre-injury. The question is, what does that actually do to the evaluation? Can you still make that investment on a player that you know is not going to be able to be your week one starter, even if you had the faith that he has the capability to get there? Can you do that right now in this draft, in this season?
Yeah, I think that's gonna be tough. And now all of a sudden you've got rehab to throw into the mix. You've got all these different factors now. On the other side, I want to talk about who now moves up into that spot where we thought Hendon Hooker might be a guy that could go maybe back into one on into round two. Who moves into that particular spot where Hendon Hooker resided? Are we blown away by anybody that could move into that spot, or is there just a void now and we're going to move guys down or leave them right where they are? We'll talk about that next. But first, I want to talk about Total Wine and More. This holiday season, find what you love at Total Wine & More with so many great bottles to choose from. It's easy to find a new favorite Cabernet or Chardonnay or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. Love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery is available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com. TotalWine.com to learn more. Drink responsibly. B21. It's Total Wine and More. We'd like to thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. All right, before we get back to it, got a word here for Turo, the world's largest car sharing marketplace, T-U-R-O. It's like Toro, but with a U. With Turo, you can book any car you want wherever you want it. So say you're going on vacation to Bozeman, Montana. I'm assuming that Bozeman's going to have, you know, some guests and some hosts there where you can go find a vehicle to drive. They're going to have one for you. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget anywhere across the U.S., U.K., Canada. You go up to Bozeman, you're bringing a family, book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. Test drive the new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip that you take is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo, T-U-R-O.com. So, guys, as we get to the NFL draft, which quarterbacks are we going to want to ride with now no Hendon Hooker? We talked about Bryce Young. We talked about C.J. Stroud. Those two, 1-2, Will Levis gets in the mix. Eric tweeted on Saturday night something pretty interesting about Will Levis. It's interesting. I thought about this, thinking about Levis this weekend, actually. Josh Allen has sort of screwed it all up for all of us. Because as soon as we want to write Levis off, what's the first thing everybody brings up? Oh, but Josh Allen. Josh Allen might be the outlier in that particular group. Beyond those three, though, Anthony Richardson, Michael Penix Jr., Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina. I'm trying to think of other quarterbacks that we have talked about in this space. Which quarterback jumps into that number four spot or maybe four or five spot, depending on how you want to swing it? Eric, your thoughts about who replaces Hooker in that spot at probably number four? I would say we were four or five on Hooker. Who replaces him? Who moves up into that spot?
or maybe even the number three spot. And we'll see how this whole thing plays out. But can we talk about Bo Nix and how he's been playing? And he didn't have the most explosive game against Utah, but he definitely did enough to win the game. And he's made a lot of plays with his arm, a lot of throws with his arm, a lot of plays with his legs, doing a lot of whatever it takes for his team to win. And you see what Oregon is doing right now. I know he got drummed week one by Georgia, and he just looked very, very, very pedestrian. But since then, I think he's continue to just get stronger and stronger as the season goes on. So I don't know how you continue to ignore Bo Nix in this quarterback competition. Again, got to go back to last year. There were guys who we thought potentially would go first round, they didn't go to third round. So I think that you might see kind of this sweet spot for quarterbacks that have a lot of talent, but maybe won't go high. And I think Bo Nix is one of them.
Ryan, your thoughts? Bo Nix. I think one thing that it's funny because what NFL scouts will say about Will Levis, you can apply to Bo Nix in that maybe not the tools and all that. I think Bo Nix has got fine tools, but the adversity playing through a really bad ankle to get a win over Utah, that you can say about Bo Nix. So that's his resume as well. Your thoughts?
Well, and that was exactly where I was going to go. Is this the first time where his legs weren't able to be the story, where he wasn't able to produce that on the ground by himself? So he had to go back to being a pocket quarterback and showing everybody that he can still do that as well. I think it's really interesting. I think this makes a clear delineation for me right now that this is a two-man race in the first round. And the top 100 might be thin. They might be all in the 70s, 80s, and 90s when we get back to it, because you can make an argument for Bo Nix. You can make an argument for Penix. You can make an argument for Sam Hartman. You can drop down a little bit more, and at the top of day three, we're going to start talking about DTR. We're going to start talking about a number of guys that have just enough that you can see it from here. I think the bulk of this quarterback class is going to follow on what happened last season, and you have to select them in that 60 to 120 range. And I think that's where the bulk of these quarterbacks are going to go this draft.
I think what gets fascinating to me with this is, you know, teams that have made selections on quarterbacks the last couple of years. You had the five quarterbacks that went in the first round in 2021. Are any of those teams going to be interested in a first-round quarterback? Last year, you had Kenny Pickett. Are the Steelers absolutely, completely, and totally sold on Kenny Pickett being that guy? We saw the Cardinals a few years ago draft Josh Rosen number 10, turn right around and take Kyler Murray number one the next year. Now, I don't think Pittsburgh would do something like that. I wouldn't think they would do that, but do any of those teams, Pittsburgh, New England, Chicago, the Jets, Jacksonville, San Francisco, Eric, do you think any of those teams are going to be interested in taking a quarterback high because they're just not completely satisfied? Or they think, like say the Steelers, say the bottom falls out and they draft one or two and Bryce Young, CJ Stroud staring them in the face. Do they go and take that guy and try and deal Kenny Pickett? How do you sort of look at what teams have done the last couple of years at quarterback? And how does that impact what they do this year?
I think they'd be smart the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be smart to kind of stick with Kenny Pickett. As I watched Kenny Pickett Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, I just saw constant improvement just in his game, making throws, making plays on the move, utilizing his legs. We talked about his first start where he threw three interceptions. Not all his fault, but you're starting to see him minimize some of those. Now, he has turned the ball over a lot, but it is tough playing in the NFL at the quarterback position, especially as a young guy, and seeing a lot of things from a defense that you didn't see when you were playing at Pitt. So I believe he is heading in the right direction. I think if there's any team where I'm like, okay, this team 100%, they need a quarterback, and they've got one or drafted one in recent year, it probably has to be Houston Texans. And what we've seen from Davis Mills, I think he's had a lot of opportunity, but it feels like he's kind of regressing. One of his early throws Sunday, interception, pick six. Was it an arm strength thing? Was it just that I'm just eyeing the guy down and I throw it regardless? I mean, it just – I feel like there's just – he's not giving you enough to say, you know what, this is a guy that we can count on long term. You have a terrific running back in Pierce. You have some weapons there. Continue to add another receiver. So continue to build on that defense. And if I'm the Houston Texans, I definitely look to drafting one of these guys. I think Davis Mills might be the first guy out. And then after him, maybe Zach Wilson. It's been a little weird with Zach Wilson. Has not played very well.
And if you look at it from that perspective, Zach Wilson, number two overall. Davis was number 60, 7, right. I think. So third rounder versus number 2 overall. So take the financial aspect involved there, and we'll see. And Davis has, as Eric said, Davis has not progressed along those lines. But, Ryan, you see a team that has taken a quarterback high in 2021, 2022, being intrigued by Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, that they might make the decision to draft a quarterback over what they have right now.
You know, I tend to think right now that they're going to stand pat. The teams that drafted high, but the teams that came in this last season and picked up the third-round quarterbacks, two of them in particular, Matt Corral hasn't been on the field. Carolina Panthers have to have a quarterback. End story. They have to go get one. Do they do it in the first round? I don't know if that's what I'm going to prescribe for them. We'll have to see it all comes out. But I can see them being a mid-second kind of pick. You know, we'll see where they fall out. And honestly, it still baffles me to this day that Desmond Ridder is not starting in Atlanta. And if they don't feel that he's capable yet after what they've seen from Mariota, then maybe they need to go right back to the well and bring in some competition and see who wins it.
Atlanta's interesting because Atlanta's just good enough to win one week, lose the next, win one week, lose the next. Mariota looks good, then he doesn't, but he looks good, then he doesn't. And so they're just not willing to pull the trigger to put Desmond Ridder in, which is very interesting to me. So you either got to make a decision and go all in with Mariota and see what you got, or let Desmond Ridder see what he can do so that you know what you're going to look at in the 2023 NFL draft. All right.
It reminds me a lot of last year with the San Francisco 49ers when at one point the 49ers were 3-5 and people were like, all right, is Trey Lance going to play? And the head coach said, listen, we're not going to just play a young guy just to play him to get experience. If we are out of the playoff race and we want to get our young guy experience, the experience that he needs, then we'll go to young Trey Lance. I think that was a situation then. I think that's what's going on in Atlanta right now where – like you said, they're just good enough. They're just winning enough games. And we saw them just win a game against the Chicago Bears Sunday where that is that field goal win, that mm-hmm. one-score game that just gives Mariota a little bit more life. I think it would be difficult to put Ridder in at this moment.
It's going to be interesting to see what Atlanta does for sure. I think that is a very interesting team to watch the NFL draft for that particular reason. Do they give Desmond Ridder a shot? And if not, is Mariota the guy? If he is or isn't, do they look at a first-round quarterback? Keep an eye on the Falcons. They're going to be fun to watch, no doubt. Now, there's one guy that we've talked about at various times, but as the season wore on, we have not mentioned his name. Did he get back into draft contention? Did he do enough to entice us all with his performance against Tennessee? We're going to talk a little Spencer Rattler next, but it's time for Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy made easy. And it's very simple. This is so fun at prizepicks.com, and it's very simple. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players in a multitude of different sports. Women's college basketball, you got that going on now. You got men's college basketball going on. You've got World Cup. You've got typically Premier League. You've got college football, PGA, National Hockey League. You got all those different sports going on. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players. And if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. For example, let's say that Derek Carr, you decided to go with Derek Carr. The Prize Picks projection is Derek Carr is going to throw for 265 yards against the Denver Broncos. And you're like, man, he's throwing for less. It's that simple. Now you do that for 4 other players, bada bing, bada bang, and you're going to make 10 times your money once you win all those. It's awesome. Entries can be made 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals. Currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. Deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for instant deposit match up to $100. Gentlemen, Saturday night, I saw a first-round quarterback. You saw him, too, because you watched the Tennessee game. But it wasn't Hendon Hooker. It was Spencer Rattler. Well, that Spencer Rattler that we saw is a first-round quarterback. Problem is, we've only seen him. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. Comes out, sees his shadow, he goes in hiding. But this time he saw his shadow, he liked it, and he stayed out, and he absolutely delivered. And when we're talking about elite traits, he's got tools. I don't want to be sucked back in. I really, really don't want to be sucked back in by Spencer Rattler. But Ryan Tracy, what I saw against Tennessee I got to say it. If that guy shows up more often than not, that dude can play in the NFL. Your thoughts about Spencer Rattler, and is it foolish to even consider him as a draftable prospect after what we've seen the last couple of years?
I have to say this. I don't know that I've ever had as good a day as Spencer Rattler just had in that ballgame. So the upside is certainly there. The peak of the mountain is certainly there. Can you consider him a draftable prospect? Yes. I think that has proven that because of that upside, that unicorn game, there's something there that can be developed. But if you think this is a top 100 pick because he showed you against a top five team, that's the downfall of a GM. He is not that. This is an illusion. He's a player that can develop into maybe a serviceable starter for you. He does have tools, but he is not a top 100 pick. I think he should be drafted, but it has to be mid to late day three.
Eric, agree. Spencer Rattler, it's an aberration. It's a one-time thing. This is gone up in smoke after this week. Your thoughts about Rattler and his performance against Tennessee?
I think there's been too much up and down with Rattler. And this is a guy, we know he has that type of potential. We know he has that type of ability. That's why prior to the 2021 season, people were saying, oh, he's going to be the first overall pick. So talent has never been the issue. And you got to see that on full display against Tennessee, where he went absolutely bonkers. He made every throw that you want to see. Tight window throws, back shoulder throws. Ball placement was great. Making plays on the move, making plays while getting hit. He did it all. He showcased it all. But you do not typically see that. There's a reason why we are kind of slobbering over that one performance. And you want to see more of it. Why aren't you seeing that type of consistency? I think a lot of it has to do with who he's been as a quarterback, with everything that goes into being playing that position. The preparation, the mindset, the leadership, right? Those are all some of the reasons why you saw him leave Oklahoma and go to South Carolina. And I think those are part of the reasons why you saw it kind of start off a little shaky at South Carolina as well. So huge win, shows a lot of his upside. I do, like Ryan, believe that he is a draftable player. But it's going to be late rounds if I'm the GM of a team, because I don't trust him. I don't trust him.
Okay, so let me present this argument. And I'm only playing devil's advocate because I agree with you. I agree with both of you 100%. What if Spencer Rattler went back for a final year at South Carolina? Would you suggest that if Eric, he came to you and said, what do you think I should do, Eric? Would you suggest he go back to South Carolina for another year?
Yeah, if he can play one more year, do that, man. Build up, you know, a little equity there. Continue to, you know, well, play in the system for another year. Hopefully they get you another weapon, right? They get you some guys to continue to throw the ball to. And if you can just continue to paint yourself in a different light than how you've been viewed up until this point, I think that would be the smartest thing for them.
Ryan, staying at South Carolina, yeah or nay?
I have to wonder whether there's going to be enough additions to that offense to help him. That's my main question. Do you have pass catchers that you think can help you elevate your game? Can you prove that you're just constantly trying to raise a subpar group of pass catchers? If you can prove that, maybe that proves your case too. I personally think if he can end on a hot note here, I would probably be likely to just take the money in the bank, just use the financial euphemisms here and not reinvest in another season. Take it to the league, start working on it, because I don't know that over the course of another full season, you're going to raise your stock more than what we just saw this last weekend.
I mean, he had 8 touchdowns going into the game. He had 6 against Tennessee. And it's not all about touchdowns. It's what you guys have both said. His ball placement was incredible. He threw with velocity. He threw with touch. He looked poised in the pocket. I mean, it's all the things that we want him to do. It's almost as if he decided, you know what, bleep it. I'm just going to be the guy that I was back in high school. And that's what he looked like. He looked like the guy we saw in QB1 on Netflix, just moving around, making plays, catching the ball from DeCarrion Joyner. I mean, my goodness. I don't know if go back for another year does that. If he does that for a full year, maybe 2024 he gets added to the mix. I'll tell you this, though. He ain't going to be number one over the guy coming out in 2024, because Caleb Williams is a bad mother, you know what. That dude, wow, holy smokes, was he phenomenal against UCLA. But we're not going to talk about Trojans on this show because, well, we're just not going to do it. Because I know Eric Crocker's like, wait a second, we can talk about him. No, we'll talk about Caleb Williams next year. He's got one more year back with USC. And then we'll talk about him joining whatever team's got the number one pick in 2024, because that dude is on point. And you guys are on point, too, for listen. Thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Appreciate you guys being here with us morning, noon, and night. Appreciate that. Thank you for Eric, for Ryan. I'm John. We'll see you next time right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.